So we are holding on Pei Vav Amud Beis, 5 lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday about, we had a case in the Mishnah where there's a well or water pit between two chatzeres. So the wall between the chatzeres goes over the middle of the well. Rabbi Yehuda had said in the Mishnah that's good enough. Each side can now draw from the well even if they hadn't made a joint eruv. The other chachamim say that no, you need a mechitza down inside the well. And we had in the Mishnah, we had Reb Shimon Gamliel that said it's a mechloikas with Shammai v'Hillel. And then within that, we had Reb Huna and Reb Yehuda's understandings of where exactly the mechitza has to be located relative to the inside of the well and relative to the water in order to be matir it. We also said that another possibility is you can put a beam that's 4 tefachim wide across the entire well from one side to another. And that also works on the grounds of Pitzik or Yerid V'Soysin. So in any case, the point is we mentioned that Rabbi Yehuda is makel in this and holds this that we say that Rabbi Yehuda says that not only a mechitza tluya is good, which fine, a mechitza tluya is good when it comes to water. We've said that before, and we're going to have that in subsequent Mishnayos as well. But also Rabbi Yehuda says, even if that wall was not built for that purpose, it was built for the purpose of separating the chatzeres, nevertheless, though, that's good enough for our purposes. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Hanani v'nach kavya amru davar echad. So we also had in the Gemara yesterday, we thought that maybe Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi agreed, Rabbi Yossi, who says that mechitza tluya in general is mutter. And we said not necessarily. Rabbi Yossi might say it only by Sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda is applying it to Shabbos as well. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda is only applying it to a Dinja Rabbanan in Shabbos, whereas Rabbi Yossi is saying it about Sukkah, which is a Dinja Raisa. So they don't necessarily agree. But now we're going to try another one. Amar Rabba, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya Amru Davar Echad. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya are both saying effectively the same thing, that we make a lot of kula when it comes, we make a huge kula when it comes to things involving water, that we allow things that we never normally would allow. So Rabbi Yehuda is allowing the mechitza tzloya, which wasn't even made for the purpose of mechitza. So Rabbi Yehuda ha'damaron, Rabbi Yehuda we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya, the Tanan, or the Tanya actually, it's the Braisa, Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya Omer, Gzustirosh yeshba arba amas al arba amas. Suppose you have, Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya says, suppose you have a porch. We're going to have to realize later in the Gemara, I mean, we've been using the word gzuster all this time to mean a porch. Really, as we're going to go through the Gemara now, we're going to see that the word gzustera is kind of broader than a porch. A porch we normally think of as attached to the wall and sticking out, and then sticking out horizontally from the wall. But we're going to have examples in the Gemaras over here of things that we're calling gzusteras, which are vertical, parallel to the wall, or in a corner, or even completely separated from a wall. But we'll use the translation porch for lack of a better word. But we'll see as we go through the sugya that sometimes it's going to be not what we would think of as a porch. Anyway, so Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya says, if you have a gzustra, sheyesh ba arba amas al arba amas. If it's 4 by 4 amas. Now, an ama is 6 tefachim. So 4 by 4 amas is 24 by 24 tefachim. So now, what you can do is like this. The dinim of mechitzas is, in order for something to be considered a mechitza, it has to enclose an area at least 4 by 4 tefachim, and it has to be at least 10 tefachim tall. So therefore, what you can do here, Hanani ben Akavya says, is chokek b'dalad al dalad umamale. What you can do is you can cut a hole 4 by 4 tefachim exactly in the middle of the gzuzdara. Now what you have is like this. Now we can imagine. Now we have a concept called which the Gemara is going to call koif v'gud. We can imagine now as though this porch was folded. That's I put on the WhatsApp group yesterday that we're going to be talking about origami porches over here, because we're going to be dealing as if we're taking the porch and folding it like a piece of paper. So what we do is then we take the porch. We have a hole in the middle 4 by 4. We imagine as though on all 4 sides of the hole we take the next 10 tefachim in each direction from the hole, because you have 10 tefachim in each direction because it's 24 across and it's 24 each way, and you bend them downwards to make a to make a tube which is four by four tefachim and ten tefachim and ten tefachim long. And then Rabbi Hanan ben Akavya says that will be good enough for you to be able to draw water from that. So here's some pictures to illustrate for those who are on video and can see. So there you have the original porch is 24 by 24 tefachim. You make your whole 4 by 4 tefachim in the middle. Now what you have is you have pieces of it. You have in principle, I guess you wouldn't need a completely square gzuzda. Right? In principle, since you only need the areas within the dotted lines over here, you could conceivably have it X shaped. But you know, nobody's going to build a gzuzda that way. But what we do is we imagine as though pieces of that were cut out and folded downward. So the pieces that are left over here, the four corner pieces, we ignore. We don't need those. But we're left with. Now we have an area which is 4x4 in the middle over there, and you have walls around it that are ten tefachim long, and therefore that's good. Now you can put your bucket down through the hole over there and draw water, says Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya. So we see that Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya is saying that you can be very makel when it comes to dinim involving water. Tosfos actually asks the question. Now in the next perek we're going to discuss Bez Hashem that Rashi learns. That if you have an area, we're going to talk about in the next parak, you have an achsadra, you have a roof on just pillars, yeah, you have, let's say, just four pillars in the corner, four sticks or whatever in the corners, and a roof on top. Rashi holds that you can say pitik or yerid v'soisim on all four sides, and therefore it would be considered as if it were enclosed. So Tosfos asks, according to Rashi then, why would you need to fold it over here? Why wouldn't we just say pitik or yerid v'soisim? So Tosfos offers a couple of possibilities. The porch over here may not be exactly flat like we had it in the picture over here. It may be angled, and then we don't say pitik or yerid v'soisim. It could also be, Tosfos says, the edges of it are not exactly smooth. They're jagged, and then also we don't say pitik or yerid v'soisim. Tosfos also brings from elsewhere where Rashi says that you can only say that if the thing itself, if the porch itself, in this case, is one tefach thick. So we could have over here where the thickness of it is less than one tefach. So for any of those reasons, then we wouldn't say, even according to Rashi's shifter, pitik or yerid v'soisim, but Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya says that we can imagine as though the porch was folded in order to create the area of mechitzas that we need. As far as why the gzuzdura itself is Rosh Hashanah Yochid, Tosfos says that, so first of all, if it was, so Tosfos says, because, for a couple of reasons, why is it Rosh Hashanah Yochid? For a couple of reasons, one of them being because it's attached to Rosh Hashanah Yochid. You go out to it from a window or from a door in the house, so therefore it's like Chore Rosh Hashanah Yochid. It's like a hole which itself is not the size enough to be a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, but it's attached to Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and continue, and it's considered one. We're going to learn on Omid Bey is a similar concept when we talk about Chore Rosh Hasharabim and Chore Carmelis. Okay, anyway, so the point is getting back to the Gemara. Rav Hanani ben Akavya is makel when it comes to dinim involving water, and he allows us to consider as though this porch was folded. So therefore, Rabbi is saying he and Rabbi Yehuda, in effect, are telling us the same thing, that we can be very makel when it comes to dinim involving water. Amalei Abaya, but Abaya says to Rabba, the Duma Loihi, maybe not necessarily, would Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya agree with each other? Ad kam l'ka'omer Rabbi Yehuda ha'asem elodo omer good achas mechitzasa. You know why Rabbi Yehuda allows it in the case of the well in our Mishnah is because all you need to do is imagine as though the wall was pulled downward. And fine, good achas itself is halacha l'moshe misinai. So therefore, so okay, the other Chachamim hold you can't apply it over here because it wasn't built for that purpose and there's no heker. Rabbi Yehuda holds you could, but fine, he'd allow that. Ava koif for good loy, but to say like this that we should consider as though the porch was folded, as though we cut out and folded pieces of it, and then made it into the size, not necessarily would loy, not necessarily would Rabbi Yehuda agree with such a concept. And vice versa, va'ad kan le'ka'omer Rav Hanani ben Akavya hosam. You know, on the other hand, you could say Rav Hanani ben Akavya, sure, he's being very makel and allowing you to consider as though the porch was folded. But you know what case he's talking about? Ela b'yama shel Tveria. He's talking specifically about the Kinneret, which on Omud Beis, when we tell over this Braisa again, we're going to explain over there that he was specifically giving this as a heter to people who lived in Tveria or other cities near the Kinneret. where however yeshlo ignayim, because the kinneret has a high bank around it, so it's a little bit like a mechitza. The ayoris for karpefus makifus osa, and you have cities and karpefus enclosed areas surrounding the lake on all sides. So even though the lake itself is, even though the kinneret itself is considered a caramelus, but it's like it's a sort of it's almost like a weaker caramelus than the regular kind. So there's a little bit of a hecker. In other words, the whole point is, it actually says, why bechlal do we say that you're not allowed to transfer anything between caramelus and Rosh HaYochid or Rosh HaRabim, is because you may think that a caramelus is like a Rosh HaRabim, and then you're transferring from it to Rosh HaYochid, and then you're going to think the same thing you could transfer from Rosh HaRabim to Rosh HaYochid. But over here, because the caramelus, because the lake is a caramelus, but you have, at least it has these things around it that are a little bit of a hecker. It's got embankments around it. It's got cities. It's got Carpathus. So therefore, Rav Hanani ben Akavia would say that we can be make on it a little more than a regular caramelist and allow this concept of folding the mechitza, etc. Aval b'shar meimis loy. Not necessarily would Rav Hanani ben Akavia say that as far as other bodies of water, that you should be allowed to do that. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is saying it by any well that's between two chatzeres. So there's no comparison necessarily between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Hananim and Akavia's opinions. Amar Abaya, but Abaya says, let's continue analyzing Rabbi Hananim and Akavia's opinion. Now, by the way, the halacha is not like Rabbi Hananim and Akavia, but still, the Gemara wants to point out that once we allow this concept of folding of kuf v'gud, according to Rav Hanani ben Akavia, then we have other implications of it. We have other ways that this porch could be shaped and sized that would also work for this purpose. So Amar Abaya, Ula Divir Rav Hanani ben Akavia, according to Rav Hanani ben Akavia, we can also have like this. Hoysa smucha l'koysel b'pachas migimol tfachim. Suppose that this gzuzdra is still close to the wall, but unlike previously, we're going to say later on that the porch that Rav Hanani ben Akavia was talking about that needs to be 24 by 24, we're going to say later on in the Gemara that is actually a freestanding, thing. It's not, so we wouldn't really call it a porch at all. I don't know what we'd call it. We'll see later on when we get to that part of the Gemara, we'll see if we can think of a term for it in English. But right now. So Abaya is pointing out that even if we think that if we have what we usually think of as a porch sticking out from the wall, but it's not exactly sticking out from the wall, it's within three tefachim of the wall. So let's say, there are brackets attached to the wall, and then you have the gzuzdra placed on them within three tefachim of the wall. So now, says Abaya, according to Rav Hanani ben Akavia, tzorech sheyeh oka dalet ames v'roich ba'achad osa u'mashehu. It would be enough if the gzuzdra then is 4 ames long and just over 11 tefachim wide. Now, how does that work? So Rashi explains as follows, and here's a diagram to help understand it. You have like this. What you do is, first of all, Rashi describes, you have this gzuzdra. The first thing you do is you cut out a notch in the middle of the gzuzdra. So again, you have less than three tefachim between the edge of it and the wall, but you need a space 4 by 4 tefachim for the mechitzas to enclose, like we said before. So you carve out of the gzuzdra a notch that's at least 4 tefachim long parallel to the wall and a little over 1 tefach deep. So now that together with the space, and now from the wall until the edge of that, and until the edge of that cutout is 4 tefachim. Now what you do is the front of the gzuzdra is another 10 tefachim beyond that. That's why we said we needed a little over 11 tefachim, a little over 1 tefach for the notch, and then 10 tefachim for the part that we're going to fold down. So that gives you the front wall. Of the mechitza parallel to the wall of the house. Then from the other sides, you take a strip just over a tefach wide. parallel to the part where you cut out the notch, you consider as though that was bent downward. Again, each of those is 10 tefachim long, because we said the Gzuz Torah itself is four amos, which is 24 tefachim long. So you have the notch in the middle, which is 4 tefachim, and you have 10 tefachim available on each side. So you take a 10 tefach long strip by a tefach and a little bit, and consider as though that was folded downward. It ends up within 3 tefachim of the wall. So good. Within 3 tefachim of the wall, lavud applies. So therefore, so now you have, in effect, you have the same thing. You have mechitzas, 10 tefachim tall, surrounding an area 4x4. So therefore, that works. And another example, continues Abaya, hoisas kufa. Here's how it looks after you do all the folding and things. So again, you end up with two large pieces which you're ignoring. You don't need them for this purpose. But the point is, you have the area where you folded the mechitzas ends up enclosing an area of, so the actual area between the mechitzas themselves is only a little over a tefach, but then you have another less than 3 tefachim from that to the wall. So altogether, you have 4, and the length of it is 4. So there you go. You have 4x4 with a height of 10 tefachim, and you're good. And continues Abaya, Hoisa's Kufa, suppose that the board that you have sticking from the wall is vertical. So till now we were talking about a porch, which is horizontal. Now let's say it's vertical. It's standing over there again. You have brackets sticking out of the wall, and then you have a piece of wood standing on end opposite the wall. Then the height of it has to be 10 tefachim in order that we have 10 tefachim to work with for the height. All we need the width of it to be is 6 tefachim plus 2 mashahus. The 6 tefachim are 4 tefachim in the middle, which is going to be the front wall of it, parallel to the wall of the house. The two tefachu mashahu on each side is going to be folded inward. Again, you have less than 3 tefachim. The case is we have to be talking about that this gzuz terah is a little less than 3 tefachim from the wall. So once you fold that part past the dotted line over there, once you fold that at a right angle to the other piece, then you have one a little over a tefach of that piece, less than 3 tefachim from there to the wall, and lavud. So there you go. Lavud on this side and lavud on this side, exactly. And another case, Amar of Hunabre de Rishua, Hoisa Imedes. So this is how it looks after it's folded. So you have 10 tefachim of height, you have 4 tefachim of width, and you have in depth between the front wall of it and the wall of the house, you have one tefach of wood or whatever the material is made out of, and less than 3 tefachim until a little over 1 tefach over there, less than 3 tefachim over there equals 4 tefachim. You're good. Again, this is all according to Rav Chananya ben Akavya. And yet another case, Amar Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua. Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua gives us another scenario over there. You have over here, sorry about that, people. Okay, you have a different explanation over here. They have diagrams over here to illustrate an opinion of Rabbeinu Hananel about what we mean hoisas kufa. Rabbeinu Hananel explains that the case is over here that you have the gzuz terah already has walls around it. So then what you do is you cut out a hole in the middle of it and you have room around it still a little over a tefach on each side to walk around it, and that's also good because then you have the walls below it. Okay. Then you have another example. Amar of Hunabre de Vishua, Hoisai Medes Bekeren Zavis. Let's take another case where this gzuz terah is like the previous case, like Abaya's second case. It's vertical. You have brackets sticking out of the wall, and you have a vertical piece of wood sticking out of that. But now let's say we have another wrinkle that it's by a corner. It's by an inner corner where two walls meet at an inner corner, and then you have over there, then you have this gzuz terah sticking out of one of the walls. So now all you need is Tzarech Shehei Gova, Yud Tfachim V'Reicha Beis Tfachim U'Shnei Masher Huyin. So by the same logic as before, you need it to be 10 Tfachim tall for the same reason. So you have 10 Tfachim and Mechitza. The width of it only needs to be 2 Tfachim plus 2 Masher Huyin. Meaning this way, when you fold it in the middle over there, you have a Tefach U'Masher Huyin in this direction, a Tefach U'Masher Huyin in this direction. Each one is within 3 Tfachim of the wall near it. And there you go. The Lavud works. And therefore, so you also have, it's enclosing an area 4x4 by the corner over there. Okay. So the Gemara asks, now that we have all those possibilities of how the Gzuzdara can be, we're saying all these various possibilities of how you can fold it work. The Ela Hodatanya of Chananya ben Akavya Omer Gzuzdara Sheshba Dalar Amos al Dalar Amos. Let's go back to the original case. We said Rav Chananya ben Akavya is saying you have a Gzuzdara which is 4x4 Amos, 24x24 Tvachim, a lot larger than in Abaya's and Rav Huna Ben Yeshua's scenarios. Only then Chokik Badalar al Dalar Mamale. Only then can you cut out a space 4x4 in the middle and fill up, because then you can say that you can fold down the walls in all four directions. The question is, Heichi Mashkachasla, what's the scenario? According to everything that Abaya and Rav Huna Breda Rishu have been telling us, why do you need the 10 Tvachim closest to the wall? We said the wall of the house itself can be one of the four walls of the thing, or two walls in Rav Huna Breda Rishu's case. So the Gzuzdara can be a lot smaller. We had in Abaya's first example, for example, where the Gzuzdara is less than 3 Tvachim away from the wall, all we required it to be was a little more than 11 Tvachim wide, and 24 Tvachim across from side to side, but only a little over 11 deep. So by the same logic, if let's say it was right next to the wall, so you should only need it to be 14 Tvachim wide, 4 where you'll cut out the hole, and then another 10 to fold. Why is Rav Chananya ben Akavya saying you need 24 in each direction? And the answer is David Ki Asisa. The answer is Rav Chananya ben Akavya's case is talking about where this Gzuzdara, it's not really a porch at all, it's made like an Asisa, which is a mortar. A mortar is a big keli that has a hollow in the middle of it. You use it for grinding things. So in other words, that the scenario is you have the Gzuzdara. It's not a porch at all. It's a flat thing on pillars or whatever above the water. It's not attached to a building at all. It was more than 3 Tvachim away from the building. So it looks like this. It looks sort of like it's just as if like you were to take a table, a piece of wood and plunk it into the ocean. That's what it would look like. So then, yes, then it needs to be 24. If you now have, let's say, far above that, you have a window where you want to be able to draw water through that. Then yes, the thing is going to need to be 24x24, because only then do you have enough space to have a four by four tefach hole in the middle and 10 tefach and bent down on each side to form the mechitzas. But if it was close to the wall, then you could dispense with one of those sides. Or two of those sides, because the walls of the houses would make up the mechitzas instead. You need to have mechitzas on all four sides, sure. So, 10 tefachim. So that was Rav Chananya ben Akavya's original example, was over here, where we're saying you take a cutout from the middle of each of the four sides and bend it downward. The four corners, the four big corners that are left, we're ignoring. But all you need is the area within the dotted lines over here. But because it's not, the Gemara originally assumed that it was close to a wall, like in this picture over here. Now we're saying it's not close to a wall. It's freestanding over there in the middle of the lake or the ocean or whatever. And that's why you need more in order to have 10 tefachim on each of the four sides of it that you're then going to bend down to make your, It is actually, now that you mention it, it is a little bit, you could compare it a little bit to an oil rig platform. Thank you. Okay, so there's a comparison. So yeah, you think of like these platforms they put up for oil rigs in the ocean. Exactly. This is a little bit like the platform for that. It could have been for fishing. It could have been for any number of reasons, but whatever it is, yeah. So that would be Rav Chananya ben Akavya's case. Again, the halacha is not like Rav Chananya ben Akavya, so this is all strictly lahagdil Torah or lahadira. This is just in order to understand the Torah in a deeper way, but not that it works actually lahalacha. Lahalacha, we don't say kuf for good. We don't say that we can bend down and make origami like this in order to make mechitzas. In fact, we don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda either that the wall of the chatzer is enough. You need to have some kind of mechitza inside the pit between the chatzeris, like we said in the Mishnah. You need a real mechitza either that goes down into the below the lip of the well, and we have the machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda where exactly it has to be located, close to the top, close to the bottom, beginning from the bottom, etc., etc. The piece of wood of four tefachim across, we said that Rav had said, and the halacha is like him, that yeah, everybody would agree is good also. Because we said, then we say, pitikur yod v'soisim, once it's four tefachim wide, then the two edges of it enclose, in effect, enclose an area 4x4. We're not concerned that you're going to go and physically, that would be a picture, of that would be over here. Yeah, yesterday, actually. Here, the example of that would be over here. So you lay a board across the thing. What you accomplish with that is the two edges of the board are considered to come down and form a mechitza, pitikur yod v'soisim. You can only say pitikur yod v'soisim when it encloses an area 4x4 tefachim, which is why the board needs to be 4 tefachim wide. And the only other concern we mentioned in the Gemara is, don't you have, maybe when a person is drawing water from one side, the bucket is going to go all the way under the koda, all the way under the stick, all the way to the other side. We said we're not concerned about that. The Chachamim, no, it's not going to go that far. You're gonna keep it close to your side when you're drawing water. So therefore, that's fine. Okay. Mishnah says three walls. You have a machlokas rishonim whether three walls on a daraisa level would do the job. That affects the question at the very, at the beginning of the masechta when we talked about a mavui. Whether a mavui sosum, which has three walls, is it midaraisa considered a rishus yachid, and it's only the whole concept that you need a lechi or koran and is dirabanan, or is it that even daraisa it's not really considered a rishus yachid, but definitely dirabanan, you need four walls, yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, Ama samayim shia veres b'chotzer. If you have a water channel that goes through the chotzer, so here's the picture over here. So the case is, in other words, it's part of, you know, it comes from a lake or a river or whatever, which is lakes and rivers are chimerous. So therefore, in effect, what you have is the channel as it goes through the chotzer is also a chimerous. Ah, so that's the thing. So ein memalin hemen of a Shabbos. So you're not allowed to fill up water from it on Shabbos. Elim kein also a mechitza gavoya yud tefachim beknisa uviyatzia. You would need a mechitza 10 tefachim tall at the entrance and the exit of it in order to be matter it, like the well on the previous Mishnah, in order to make it that then this part that's going through the chotzer is not considered timeless. Rabbi Yehuda, again, Rabbi Yehuda says, like he said before, koisel shal gaba tidein mishum mechitza. The wall that passes above it should be good enough to count as the mechitza, same way as he said in the previous Mishnah as far as the well. But you have the walls around the chotzer, same idea, in other words. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll give you an actual example where we see that you were able to do that. Maisa ba'ama shal ovil, it happened with the channel of ovil. Ovil is a place near Tzipori. So they would fill up water, this channel passed through people's chatzeres and whatever, and they would fill up water from it on Shabbos, with the consent of the skenim, the local chachamim told them they're allowed to do that. So we see you allowed to do that, and how must it be? Because again, each chotzer has walls around it, and those walls are good enough to not make it a chimerus. So what are you telling me that you need special mechitzas for the purpose? Amrulai, so the Chum answered, Rabbi Yehuda, b'fnei lahei b'kashir. The reason why that worked is because the channel, as it passed through the chatzeres, wasn't the shear of a chimerus. In order for it to be a chimerus, it needs to be 10 tefachim deep, or it needs to be 4 tefachim wide. Actually, both of them. If it's missing one of those dimensions, so if it's missing one of those dimensions, if it's not 10 deep or if it's not 4 wide, then it won't be considered a reshus of its own. So if it's in a chotzer, therefore it'll just be considered part of the reshus of yachid, and therefore you don't need anything special for it. So if it's 10 and 4, then because it's attached to the lake or the river or whatever outside it, it's still part of the chimerus out there. So now you have a chimerus passing through the chotzer. So what you do to make it rishus yachid, that's what we're saying. The Chacham are saying you have to make a mechitza at the inlet and at the outlet of it. So now that mechitza is, now what that does is it marks off the part that's inside the chotzer. This is not part of the chimerus anymore. Again, physically, obviously, it still is. Some of the water is still flowing through. Or maybe not, actually. Maybe you block it off completely. We'll see in the Gemara whether you actually still leave actual inlets and outlets for the water to flow through. Well, it doesn't matter, but the point is, once you make the mechitzas, like we said before with the well, once you have a mechitza that fits the definitions, lamaila, lamata, or whatever, we don't care that physically the, underneath it the water is mixing, because at least you have a heker. Here it's the same thing. You have a heker that now it's not a kaimelus anymore. Yeah, the chatzar is closed. And the truth is actually the Rambam, when the Rambam deals with this din, he actually, you have the question also, Bechlal, would you have a problem anyway? Now, we learned in the first perek, you have a case of Lashon Yam Shenichas L'chatzar. We had an example there where an edge of the sea or the lake or whatever flooded part of the chatzar, and now you have the question, can you carry even in the chatzar itself, or is it considered that now it's completely open to a caramelist? So over here also, So the mechitza gvoya asarat fachim might be needed, at least according to the Rambam, not only in order to be able to draw water from this thing, but bechlal maybe to be able to carry in the chutz. So according to everybody else, that's not the issue. The fact that it's a kamelis, it does at least have, it has embankments, it has vertical the l'shoin yam we were talking about over there, it was a gradual slope of water, and therefore you have a problem. Here you have there's an actual embankment over there that Samayim has a depth of 10 tvachim, so therefore the sides of it count as mechitzas, so fine, it's marked off from the Rosh HaSiyachid that way. So you don't have a problem carrying in the Rosh HaSiyachid in the chatzar. You have the problem, though, of can you draw water from the water channel, which is kamelis. So the Chachamim are saying that you need the mechitzas at the two ends, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying you don't, the mechitza over it is good enough. No, but that's the thing. But that's the problem. If the water is still connected to the water outside, then it's still part of Kamalus. So then you've just turned the whole chotzer into a Kamalus, maybe. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Tanan Abanan. Osula b'knista v'lo osula b'yitzia. What if they only made a mechitza at the inlet of the water, where it comes into the chotzer, but not at the outlet? Or be osula b'yitzia v'lo osula b'knista, or vice versa, at the end, at the outlet, not at the inlet. Ein m'malin hemen b'shabbos. Either way, they can't fill up water from it on Shabbos, because again, it's still connected with the water that's outside the chotzer, so it's still a karmelis. Elim Kane also la mechitza yutvachim b'knisa b'yitzio b'knisa. They have to make the mechitza at the inlet and at the outlet, at both ends of the Amas Amayim. And then what happens is now it's considered as though this water channel begins in this chotzer. Well, if it begins in this chotzer, it's part of a shesayachid. Even though physically some of the water may be passing through, yeah. Continues the Braise. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Koseh Shagaba Tidin Mishra Mechitza. Rabbi Yehuda says, as he said in the Mishnah, that the wall that passes over the Amas Hamayim should be good enough for a Mechitza on the grounds of good Achis. We should consider that wall as if it was pulled downward into the water channel. To make it cut off, right? And Omer Rabbi Yehuda Maisa Ba'Amas Hamayim Shoyse Bom Ovel Litzipodi. And Rabbi Yehuda says, in fact, there was a case of a water channel that went from Ovel to Tzipodi. And the Zkenim allowed them to fill up water from it on Shabbos. So you see that that's good without making a mechitza. So you see that's good enough. Same thing as the Mishnah. Omru Loi says, yeah, the Braise is just giving a little more detail. In the Mishnah, we only said it was the Amas Hamayim Shel Ovel. We didn't know where it was going from Ovel to where. Now he's saying it goes to Tzipodi. Yeah. And Omru Loi and the Chachamim answered him, Mishom Raya. From there, you're bringing a proof. The reason why it was allowed, because it wasn't 10 tfachim deep and 4 tfachim wide. If it had been, if it was 10 by 4, then yes, this kingdom would not have allowed people to fill up from it unless they made mechitzas from it where it goes in and where it goes out of the chotzer. Because if it has that depth, then it's a kamelis. Only when it's choshev enough to be a reshus, 10 deep and 4 wide, only then is it choshev enough to be considered a kamelis. Less than that, that's bottle. What do you mean? How do you mean? So that's the thing. To make it a kamelis, you can make a reshus tiyachid, right? That's the whole concept of Eidurin. But in particular, in this case, again, what you do is you make a mechitza where it comes in, you make a mechitza below the water. Again, you have the same. Yeah, No, you're going to have as far as below you, I mean, you're going to have the same machlokas as we had with Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, where exactly the machitza has to be located relative to the water. Do you start at the top and do you start at the top of the channel where it starts going underground and you work down from there 10 tefachim, even though it's above the water? Does it have to go till the water? Does a tefach of it have to stick down into the water? If you start at the bottom, does a tefach of it have to stick up, et cetera, et cetera. The whole same principle as we said yesterday as far as the burr. So maybe a 4x4 piece would also work on the same way. Maybe. Okay. All right. Tanya Idach, we learn in another braisa. If you have a water channel which goes between people's windows, you have chatzeres and houses on both sides of it. You have a water channel in the middle, and people's windows look out onto it. Yeah, on this side, yeah. Like Venice, yeah. If it's less than three, and we have to figure out what we mean, what is less than three, we're going to have a few different explanations in the Gemara. So far, let's learn the Braisa. If it is less than three, Meshalshal Dliyum Umale, then you can lower down a bucket from your window and fill up water from it. Gimel, but if it's three tvachim, whatever is three tvachim, as we'll see soon, ein meshalshal d'liyum amale, then you cannot lower down a bucket and fill up, and we'll see soon why not. Reb Shimon Gamliel, I'm a pachas mi dalad meshalshal d'liyum amale, dalad ein meshalshal d'liyum amale. Reb Shimon Gamliel says the cutoff is not three, but rather four. So we have to figure out what is going on over here. But Maya Skinnan, what's the scenario? Ilema ba amas amayim gufa. Are we talking about the three or four refers to the width of the amas amayim itself? So if it's less than three tefachim versus if it's more than three but less than four versus if it's more than four. The problem with that is what about though? We know that when Reb Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Reb Yechanan, "Ein karmelus chosam idalad." There's no such thing as a karmelus less than four tefachim wide. Now, according to this braisa over here, now what's the point? The amas amayim is karmelus, like we said. If you're going to tell me that according to the Chachamim, once it's three tefachim wide, you already have a problem, then it means according to them, a karmelus is already three tefachim. So therefore, would we have to say lema katanoi amr l'shmaite? Would we have to say that what Rav Dini is telling us is only according to some tanoim, that only the Shimon Gamliel would say it, and the Chachamim would disagree and say that three tefachim is ready enough to be a karmelus? We don't want to say that. We want to assume that what Rav Dini is telling us is according to all the tanoim. Ela ba'agapeha. So are you going to say we're talking about the three tefachim refers to the width of the banks on the two sides of it? So in other words, so you have the amas amayim. The question is, are the banks next to it, the houses that you have, there's an embankment between them and the actual amas amayim. So are we discussing whether that is three tefachim wide or more than three, or less than four or more than four, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, and ula hachlif? The case is then that we're asking, are you able to? Now, when you go down and when you lower your bucket from the window, you're not necessarily putting it directly from your window into the water. You may lower it onto the ground over there, onto that embankment. Then from there you go and bring it down to the river and actually draw water. You could use a fishing rod or something like that, but you might have instead of actually. And the same thing when you filled up the water, instead of pulling it up right away, you might pull it out of the amas amayim, put it on the bank, and then afterwards go and take it from the bank into your house. But the question is, are you allowed to? So maybe the discussion is not so much about whether you can draw water from this thing. For that, you would need the mechitzas, like we said before. But the question would be, the key thing about three versus four is how wide the banks are. At what point would we say that these banks are not considered a makom patur anymore, and therefore you couldn't do that? No, but that's the thing. We're talking about you take the bucket, you lower it down, you put it on that bank. From there, you go and put it down into the amma and fill it up. Then you when you fill it up, you put it back on the bank, and then you pull it back up into your house. If you did everything in one shot, then you have the, then we don't care how wide the banks are. Then we have what we said in the Mishnah, that you just need a mechitza at the two ends of it, and that's that. But here we're talking about if you want to do it, if you want to do it piecemeal, you want to be able to lower it onto the bank, then from the bank into the river, then from the river back to the bank, and then back to your house. Are you, so now we have to know how wide those banks are, and because the question would be, in other words, so we would say if the bank is less than 3 tefachim wide, then it's a makom ptur, so then there's no problem. If it's between 3, if it's more than 3, less than 4, then it would be, it's not really a makom ptur anymore. Now, usually we say, no, not mamas tefachim. Now, oh, so that's the thing. It's a little bit odd, and actually one of the mafoshim here, one of the achronim, the Goyin Yaakov, asks on Rashi, it seems from Rashi's Lashon that we're saying, according to the Tanakhama, once it's more than 3 tefachim wide, it's not a makom ptur anymore, but usually a makom ptur is up to 4 tefachim. So what is it over here, this thing? It's not really a makom ptur, it's not really a kamelis either. Nevertheless, though, the point is that it seems to be what Rashi is saying, that according to the Chachamim over here, if the bank is 3 or more tefachim wide, and according to the Shimon Gamliel, if it's 4 or more wide, then you can't do that. You can't be machlif. If you want to draw water from this amma, you're going to have to do it directly, without using the bank on the way. So if it's less than 3, it can't be a kamelis. If it's more than 3, the Chachamim are saying, in effect, that In effect, the Chachamim are saying that it's a reshus of its own. It's not really a makom ptur. Now, again, normally we say a makom ptur is up to 4 tefachim, but from Rashi over here, it comes out that he's saying that in this case, this thing that's more than 3 and less than 4, according to the Chachamim, it's not small enough to be considered a makom ptur. On the other hand, it's not really big enough to be considered a kamelis. It's kind of a reshus of its own, almost like a fifth reshus of Shabbos, and therefore you can't use it to transfer the water back and forth between the bucket back and forth. No, when we say makom ptur, it doesn't mean kamelis. Makom ptur and kamelis are two different things. You're allowed. But here. The problem with that is, Vahoki also of Dimi Omer of Yechanan, but we also know that Rav Dimi said when he came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Rav Yechanan, that Makom She'en by Arba al Arba, an area that is less than 4 by 4 tefachim, which therefore is a Makom Tur, Mutal b'nei Rishos HaYachid v'levnei Rishos HaRam l'katef olav, people from Rishos HaYachid and from Rishos HaRabim are able to adjust burdens on it, because again, what do you have over there? You have somebody from Rishos HaYachid is taking something from Rishos HaYachid and putting it in Makom Ptur, that's fine, you're allowed to do that even to Rabbanon. Somebody from Rishos HaRabim is taking something and putting it in Makom Ptur, that's also allowed. Ovilvad Shalo Yachlifu, as long as they don't exchange, you can't have that you're going to take from one Rishos, put it down in Makom Ptur, and then take it to the other Rishos. Now, over here, if the bank is less than 3 tefachim wide, then you have the same thing. You're doing machlis. You're taking your bucket from Rishos HaYachid, putting it down onto the bank, then from there into the kamelis. And then when you pick it up, when you bring it out full of water, you're doing the same thing in reverse. You're taking it from kamelis to makom ptur, from there into Rishos HaYachid, based on what Rav Dimi himself is saying, that should be no good. So what's the difference? So who cares, even if the bank is narrower than 3 tefachim, why according to the Chachamim, should that be allowed? We're talking. Wait, I'm not. The machlof thing. So that's the Gemara is going to answer that there's a difference between Rishuris Deraisa and Derabanan. For purposes of the question, the Gemara assumed the same way as Rav Dimi wouldn't allow us to take something from Rishos HaYachid, put it down in Makom Ptur, pick it up from Makom Ptur, take it to Rishos HaRabim, or vice versa. We assume, for purposes of the question, that he would say the same thing Rishos HaYachid to Makom Ptur to Kamelis, or Kamelis to Makom Ptur to Rishos HaYachid, or whatever. Yeah. And the answer is that no, there is the difference. Hostam Rishuris Deraisa. Because the difference is that in that other case of Rav Dimi's involving the people from Rishos HaYachid and the people from Rishos HaRabim, you're talking about Rishuris Daraisa. So we don't want you to be putting down something in Makom Ptur and then taking it to the other Rishus, because what's going to happen? You may get careless. You don't put it down in the Makom Ptur at all. Then you took it directly from Rishos HaYachid to Rishos HaRabim or vice versa, and you were over on it. It's a Daraisa. As opposed to Hachar Rishuris Drabanan. as opposed to over here, the whole thing we're talking about is Rishuyas Dirabbanan, because we're dealing over here with Karmelis, where the whole concept of Karmelis is only Dirabbanan. So therefore, Reb Dimi might not necessarily say, so therefore you might actually be able to use a Makom Patur, according to him, to take something from one Rishus to another. Because what would happen, even if you don't put it down on the bank over there, you draw the water directly from the Karmelis into the house, no problem. You still have, not no problem, but the maximum you've been over on is an Isser Dirabbanan. So therefore, maybe he would allow it. Now, okay. So Midaraisa, if you have Rosh Hashanah Yochid and Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and in between them is a Karmelis, if you took something from Rosh Hashanah Yochid and walked through Karmelis and put it down over there, and then you picked it up from Karmelis and continued walking out to Rosh Hashanah Rabim, you would be potter on a Daraisa level. Midarabanan, we don't want you to even be taking from the other Rosh Hashanah into Karmelis at all. If there was a Makom Patur there, then also Midaraisa would be allowed. Rav Dini is telling us you shouldn't do it. Uvad shalo yachlif. But the Gemara is saying over here that if on one side of the Makom Patur you have a Rosh Hashanah Yachid and the other side you have a Karmelis, or another example would be you have two Chatzeiris that haven't made a joint Eruv, where neither one is allowed to carry to the other, then he wouldn't necessarily have a problem with that. Of using the Makom Patur in between to be able to transfer from one to the other. Now, Rashi points out you could still wonder though. In that din, Reb Dimi is talking about a Makom Patur. A Makom Patur usually is up to 4 tvachim. Here we're saying only 3 tvachim, the Chachamim are allowing. What's the difference? Rashi says that the difference is, again, you could say that when you're talking relative to Rishuyas Daraisa, Rosh Hashanah Yochid, Rosh Hashanah Rabim, then we say you need 4 tvachim, and less than 4 tvachim is considered bottle to it. But when we're dealing with a Karmelis, then once it's 3 tvachim wide, then already it's not bottle to it anymore. And therefore, once it's 3 tefachim wide, then you would have that you're taking from the Karmelis onto this bank, and then from there into the house, and the Chachamim would say that's no good. So that the fifth, it's kind of like a fifth of Rishus. According to Rashi, this area over here, this bank of the Amas Hamayim, which is 3 tefachim wide, it's not really wide enough to be considered a Makom Patur. I mean, that's not wide enough to not be considered a Makom Patur anymore, because Makom Patur is up to 4, but nevertheless, it's not bottled to the canal either. If it was bottled to the Amas Hamayim, to the canal. A Makom Patur, by definition, is less than 4 tefachim. That's the thing. Rashi says, because in this case, you're not really talking about whether it's a Makom Patur or not, you're talking about whether it's bottled to the canal. And it's not, once it's 3, then it's ready, it's not really bottled. So it is, so in effect, it's a Makom Patur, but Rashi is saying it's sort of like a special kind of Makom Patur. The expression in Rashi is that Chulai having Makom Patur, El Rishuse Ba'anpe Nafshe, at the end of the Rashi, El Bagapea, Anamur Aleph, Rashi says that once it's 3, the Chachamim say, Loi having Makom Patur, it's not a full-fledged Makom Patur, El Rishuse Ba'anpe Nafshe, it's like in effect a unique Rishus of its own, so it's not bottled to either of the Rishuyas on either side of it, and therefore the Chacham are saying no good. You can't use it as a waypoint between yeah. Okay. It's less than right. Okay. Yeah. That's fine, but still, so we can be Makel, again, you put Mechitzas, fine, but we're talking about over here the question, if you didn't make Mechitzas, would you still be able to take it from the canal, from the Amas Hamayim, to the bank, and from there to your house? So if the bank is less than 3 tefachim wide, you would be able to do that. But if the bank is less than 3 tefachim wide, then you're more than 3 tefachim, then the Chachamim say no. Rabbi Gamliel says it's good until 4, and above 4, he would also agree that, yeah. In the story that Rabbi Yehuda mentioned in the Mishnah, the Amas Hamayim, as it passed through the Chatzer, was less than four tefachim wide, or was less than 10 tefachim deep. So therefore, yeah. Okay. So the problem with that is the problem with that is, so what do we say? Rav Dimi, in the name of Rav Yechanan, is telling us there's a difference between whether you're talking about Rishus Yochid and Rishus Rabim on the two sides, and Makom Patur in the middle, where you're not allowed to take something from Rishus Yochid, put it down in Makom Patur, pick it up from Makom Patur, take it to Rishus Rabim, but he would allow that if we were talking about Rishus Yochid, Makom Patur, and Kamelis, then he would allow it. So again, as long as the bank here is less than 3 tefachim wide, then you're good. The problem with that is that Rabbi Yochanan says that by Rishuyas did Abbanon also, that you can't take from one side to the other side, putting it down on a Makom Patur in the middle. The Tanya, or the Tanan really, it was a Mishnah in the previous Perek, Koisel Shebein Beis Chatzeres, we said that if there was a wall between two Chatzeres, Gavoya Yud Tfachim Berochav Abba, it's at least 10 tefachim tall, it's at least 4 tefachim wide, so it's a Rishus of its own. So because you have this wall in the way, they have to make two separate Erubin. Now, as far as that particular din, we said that for that, it doesn't matter the thickness of the wall. Even if it was a very thin wall, you'd still have the same din. The reason we're mentioning the 4x4 is in connection with the next din. Because the Mishnah continues, Hoya Beroshe Peiris, what if there was fruit on top of the wall? Elu Olin Mikanva Ochlin, so we said the people from one Chatzor are allowed to climb up on top of the wall and eat the fruit over there. The Elo Olin Mikanva Ochlin, and the other one's the same thing. But we said, the Gemara is just bringing the whole Mishnah, even though the last part of it is not relevant to our Sugya. Nifrat HaKoisel, if the wall is breached, Ad Eser Amos, if the breach is up to 10 Amos, so now we have an opening between the two Chatzeres, Ma'arvin Shnayim Vim Ratzu Ma'arvin Echo, they could still make separate Erevin if they want, but now they can make a joint Erev because they have a Pesach between them. They can make a joint Erev because they have a Pesach between them. Yeah. Yoisimikan, if the breach is more than 10 Amos, Ma'arvin Echad Ve'en Ma'arvin Shnayim, then they have to make one joint Erev because now they're considered one big Chatzer. They can't make separate Erevin. The point is, as far as the part where the wall in between is 4 tefachim wide, so 4 tefachim again it's 10 tall, it's 4 wide, so it's wide enough to be a reshus of its own. That's why we're saying that since both chatzeres have equal rights to the top of that wall, therefore neither of them is allowed to take anything from that wall to their chatzeres or vice versa. All they're allowed to do is they can climb up on top of the wall and eat the fruit over there. But b'havinan bo, we discussed in the sugi over there, ein b'ya b'amai, what if the wall is less than 4 tefachim thick? Amar Rav, Abba Beis Rishuyas Shulat. So Rav says the result is then that you have two Rishuyas that have equal rights over it, because again, each Chatzor has equal rights to the top of that wall, and therefore you're not allowed to move the fruit down there at all. You certainly can't take it down into the Chatzeres, that we said already in the Mishnah, but you can't even move anything on top of the wall itself, because it's an area which is also to both Chatzeres. It's not a Makom, no, but that's the thing, but it's bottled to both Chatzeres. So it's bottled to both Chatzeres, and the two Chatzeres haven't made a joint Eruv, so you can't carry anything around over there. If it's less than 4 thick, yeah. But Rabbi Yechanan, whose opinion we're focusing on in the Gemara over here, he says, Elu Mikan Va'Ochlin, Ve'Elu Ma'alin Mikan Va'Ochlin. He says, no, people from both sides can bring up fruit to the top of there and eat it. Unlike if it was 4 tefachim tall, where we said they can just eat the fruit at the top, but they can't actually bring anything there. If it's less than 4, Rabbi Yechanan says, since it's a Makom Patur, then there's no problem. They can bring things from their respective Chatzeres onto that Makom Patur, and they can eat it over there. So we see, therefore, that Rabbi Yechanan says his din. So we see that Rabbi Yechanan, now on the other hand, Rabbi Yechanan does say that the people from the one Chatzer can bring fruit to the top of the wall and vice versa, but even Rabbi Yechanan agrees that the people of one Chatzer can't bring fruit to the top of the wall, leave it there, and then the people from the other Chatzer will take it. That not. Now that's the equivalent of putting things from one Rishus into a Makom Patur, and then it's being taken from that Makom Patur into the other, and these are Rishuyas Dirabbanan, because again, the distinction between one Chatzer and the next is purely Dirabbanan, and yet Rabbi Yechanan is not allowing it. So what are you telling me that Rabbi Dimi, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, is going to say there's a distinction between Rishuyas D'Araisa and Rishuyas Dirabbanan? And the Gemara continues, Va'azir Rabbi Yochanan Taimei, and in fact, Rabbi Yochanan is going according to his shitta, to his own shitta, when he says that if the wall is less than four wide, that you would be allowed to bring things from the Chatzeres to the top of the wall, Dechi Asir Abdini Amar Rabbi Yochanan, because the same din we just quoted that Rabbi Dimi says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Mokam She'en by Abal Abba, a place which is less than four by four, so it's a Mokam Tur, Mutu Levnei Rosh Hasharabim Levnei Rosh Hasayachan the Katif Olav, people from Rosh Hasayachan and Rosh Hasharabim are allowed to adjust their burdens on it, as long as they don't transfer it from one rishus to another. So we see, in other words, that Rabbi Yochanan is saying the same din applies, whether the rishus on the two sides of it are daraisa, Rosh Hasayachan versus Rosh Hasharabim, or whether they're both drabanan, for example, two chatzeras. So what are you telling me? That Rav Dimi is going to make that distinction and say, therefore, that if it was a mokum tur between Rosh Hasayach and Rosh Hasarabim, then we're not going to be allowed to take something from one and put it down over there and then take it from there and put it into the other. But if it was only dirabanan, like the case of the water channel, then you would be allowed to, according to Rabbi Yochanan, and there's no difference. You're never allowed to. So why are we saying there would be a difference if the banks of the water channel were less than three tefachim, which is a makam tur, and it is bottle, but how would that help? That's bottle, and in the case of the wall between the two chaseres, it's also bottle, and you still can't transfer it across over there, yeah. The answer is, the answer is that statement about that was saying that people can bring things from the two chatzeres up to the wall, but in other words, they can only bring it up to the top of the wall. They can't bring it across. Ze'iri Omra. Ze'iri said that in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Meaning Ze'iri has a different understanding of Rabbi Yochanan's shita than Rabbi Dimi does. Ze'iri would hold that Rabbi Yochanan would say this din of Ovad Shalo Yachlif applies whether it's Rishuyas Daraisa or Drabanan. Rav Dimi would hold it only applies to Rosh Hashanah Daraisa, not Drabanan. So before we were quoting Rav Dimi's understanding of the case involving the canal. So good, now we're not talking according to, by the way, you mentioned before Venice, you know, you have the same thing in Miami Beach and other such places also, you know, where you have houses built alongside the canals over there. Anyway, yeah. So the point is that Rav Dimi was the one who was explaining before that when we said in the Braisa three according to the Chachamim, four according to the Shimon Gamliel, it was talking about the width of the bank. He's the one who's explaining, we're talking about that it's a Rishus in between the Kamelis and the Rishus Yachin. Good, so he follows his own understanding of Rabbi Yochanan, that where the Rishuyas on the two sides of that are only also to carry from one to the other, Drabanan, then you would be allowed to carry from one to the other as long as you drop it off in the middle over there. So good, if the bank is less than three wide, so it's a makam tur, you could draw water from the canal, put it down on the bank, pick it up and bring it into the house, and that would be fine. Only if, had it been, that the canal was a Rosh Hasharabim, then you wouldn't be able to do that. Whereas the Iri would hold that there's no difference either way, you wouldn't be able to do that. You wouldn't be allowed to. Okay, so the question is, well, is the Iri Kasha? So new, according to the Iri, how we understand in the Braisa on Amar Aleph, about the difference between three and four. The answer is Ze'iri Kashaha. So according to Ze'iri, the original Braisa that we quoted is, how do we understand it? The answer is Ze'iri Mukim Lomba Amasamayim Gufa. Ze'iri would answer that our initial assumption in the Gemara was correct. We started by asking, what do we mean three and four? We said maybe it means the width of the actual Amasamayim, but we said the problem with that is if we understand it to be the width of the actual Amasamayim, then it comes out that Rav Dimi's din that he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Kaimelis Posami Dalad, is not according to everybody, is only according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. So, okay, Ze'iri doesn't have to agree with that. So, Rav Dimi, Tanoi, he could say, okay, Rav Dimi is quoting Rav Yochanan to say that Ein Kamelis Posami Dalad, and before on Amar Aleph, we wanted to say that has to work according to everybody. No, Ze'iri says, I don't have to say it works according to everybody. I could say that it works only according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Chachamim, in fact, would say that a Kamelis can begin at three Tvachim. So, we're talking about the actual width of the channel itself. If it's less than three wide, there's no problem drawing from it because it's considered a makam tur. Once it's three wide, then it's considered a kamelis according to the Chachamim, and therefore you can't draw from it unless you make mechitzis. So in other words, it comes out basically that Rav Dimi and Ze'iri have two understandings that they have that are opposite each other. On the one hand, Rav Dimi is saying that Rav Yochanan's din about Lahachlif applies only to Rishuyas Daraisa and not Drabanan, whereas Ze'iri would say it applies to both of them. On the other hand, Rav Dimi tells us that Rav Yochanan holds Ein Kamelis Posami Dalad, and that would be according to everybody, and Ze'iri says it doesn't have to be according to everybody, could be only according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Okay. The problem still is And the problem with all of that is that even let's say let's say fine. So we have Zairi's understanding, which was the original understanding of the Gemara, that we're talking about if the water channel itself is less than 3 tefachim wide, then there's no problem drawing from it on Shabbos. It's attached to Kamelis outside the chatzar, not a problem because it's less than 3 inside the chatzar. The question with that, and less than 3 can't be considered a Kamelis. The problem with that. Namasamayim itself we're talking about, yeah. We're going back to the original assumption of the Gemara, which we're saying now is also Zairi's understanding of the Braisa. Again, we said Rav Dini's understanding of the Braisa is the 3 and 4 tefachim referred to the width of the bank, but the initial assumption of the Gemara and Rav Dini and Zairi's understanding is it means the actual width itself of the channel, of the canal itself, yeah. So the problem with that is, why, if it's less than 3 tefachim, would it be mutter? But to have a kichore kamelis, why wouldn't we say it's similar to the case of a whole near kamelis? Now, we say, for example, Rashi mentions, we learned in Masech the Shabbos, that if you have, let's say, a wall next to Rosh Hashanah, and there is a hole in that wall, which is less than 4 by 4, so the hole itself is not large enough to be a reshus of its own. If you throw something and it lands in that hole, you're going to be chayev because it's considered. So if you threw something from a shusha yachid, let's say, and it traveled and it landed in that hole, and you're going to be chayev because you transferred from a shusha yachid to a shusha rabim. It's a hole in the wall. Doesn't matter. It's a chayev a shusha rabim, and therefore it's considered like a shusha rabim, as long as it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, because above 10 tefachim is makom tur. Whatever. The point is that we see that there's a concept of chayev a shusha rabim. By the same logic, there should be a concept of chayev kaimelis. The river or whatever that this channel comes from is big enough to be considered a kamelis before it enters the chotzer, before it enters the city. Therefore, now it should be considered, now the extension of it inside the chotzer, even if it's very, very narrow, should still be considered an extension of that kamelis. So even if it's less than 3 tefachim wide, it should still be also to draw from it unless you make mechitzis. Why is the braisa, according to Zairi, telling us that you could? The answer is Abaya ba'oven, Rav Chanina ba'oven, Da'amu Tabayu, Ein Chorin l'Kaimelis. So Abaya ba'oven and Rav Chanina ba'oven say very simple. There's no such thing as Chorin Kaimelis. We say there's Chorin when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is Daraisa. Kaimelis, the whole existence of Kaimelis is only the Rabbanon, so the Chamon at that are not so machmir as to say that the Chorin of it, that the extensions of it, that themselves are not big enough to be a Kaimelis, should be considered a Kaimelis. Rav Ashi gives a different answer. You could even say that Kaimelis does have Chorin normally, but Hanimili b'smucha, even that would only apply where the hole is right next to Kaimelis. Hocha b'mufleges, here it's a little further away. In other words, you have the Ritva explains, you're not going to usually have the width of the channel doesn't change that much within a few feet. Mufleges would be 4 tefachim. The last 4 tefachim of it outside of the wall are not necessarily going to be that much wider. So therefore, if it's less than 3 tefachim inside the chatzar, it's probably also less than 3 tefachim within 4 tefachim length from the chatzar. So therefore, further out, yeah, it's going to be. But that further out, it's wide enough to be a kamelis. We're not going to be concerned about that over here, as long as it's not actually next to it. Ravina Omar. Ravina says, I have a third explanation of the 3 and 4 tefachim in the Braisa. So again, we had the first understanding, which we said in the end was also Zairi's understanding, that we're talking about the width of the canal itself. We had Rav Dini's understanding that we're talking about the width of the banks of the canal. Now, Ravina says, I have a third explanation of what the 3 and 4 tefachim are. Going to Obidla Nipki Apuma. Suppose that, now up until now we were talking about that you made a mechitza that goes the whole width from one bank of the canal to the other, and 10 tefachim in height. What if instead you made 2 separate pieces with a space between them for the water to still be able to flow through? So the question would be, how far apart can those 2 pieces be, and it'll still be considered a valid mechitza? So the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Gamliel are going according to their respective opinions, because the Chachamim hold all over that up to 3 tefachim is considered lavud, but not beyond that. So therefore, if there's less than 3 tefachim between one board and the other, then good, it's considered one solid mechitza, and you have lavud. If it's more than 3, if it's 3 or more, then no good. Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying up to 4 is good, because according to him, up to 4 is lavud. As we've learned a few times in the Masechta. So therefore, according to him, if you have a space 4 tefachim wide between one board and the next, then you're good. The Rambam actually, by the way, has a somewhat different understanding of this situation over here. The three tefachim, the Rambam describes a scenario where the channel actually doesn't go through the chatzer, but rather between the chatzeris. So then, if you have walls that stick out from the edges of the chatzeris next to it if the channel is within three tefachim of the walls of the chatzeris, then it's considered then it has one din. If it's more than three, and if it's more than three away, then it's considered as though it was in a separate chatzer. And then you need an eruv chatzeris with that chatzer in effect. You need mechitzes or whatever in order to make that part of your chatzer and be able to draw water from it. So according to the Rambam, you have a chatzer here, a chatzer here. You have an area in the middle where the channel is flowing between the chatzeres. And the question is, how close to the wall of the chatzer on one side and how close to the wall of the chatzer on the other side is it flowing? Is it within three tefachim or is it not? So not like the picture is over here, right? Okay. So if it's less than three, then you'd be allowed to fill up from it on Shabbos, because then it's on from both sides. And if it's not, without making mechitzes, and if not, then you need mechitzes in order to mark it off that it's a chotzer, that it's going through. Yeah. So in that case, so that's the thing. If it's within three tefachim of the chatzeris, then you don't need then the Rambam is saying apparently that you don't need any kind of mechitza at all. And if not, then you need mechitzas at the two ends, as we're saying. Both properties, would they have to join in the mechitza? I don't know. But maybe according to the fact is nobody lives in that middle chatzer, so it's not like they need to make an eruv with that chatzer. It would be sort of like the case we had a few days ago involving a well between the two in a little alley between the two chatzeres, where we say all you need is, we said according to Rav you don't need anything, and according to Shmuel you need a ziz. Yeah. So because it's tashmish derech aver. So yeah. I guess it would be a similar kind of thing because they don't use it directly vertically. They have to go horizontally in order to reach it. Okay. Yeah.
Alexander.
Yeah.
What's the difference between Makom Patur and a Karmelis?
What's the difference between a Makom Patur and a Karmelis? So the basic answer is the definitions wise, the difference is that a Makom Patur is less than 4x4 and a Karmelis is at least 4x4.
No, but in function.
In function, the idea is a Karmelis is in some way similar to a Rosh Hashanah Yachid or Rosh Hashanah Adim. And therefore, the Chachamim were machmir in it and said we have to treat it as a separate area where you can't carry from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to it or from Rosh Hashanah Adim to it or vice versa. A Makom Patur is small enough. It's less than four tefachim. In effect, we can sort of say as if like it's bottle to the areas near it. So therefore, there's no problem of, so therefore, like Rav Dimi had said before, you're able to take something from Rosh Hashanah Yachid and place it in Makom Patur, even the Rabbanon, or from Rosh Hashanah Adim and place it in Makom Patur. Or the only thing you can't do is, according to Rav Dimi is saying, is to take something from Rosh Hashanah Yachid, put it down in Makom Patur, pick it up from Makom Patur and bring it to Rosh Hashanah Adim. That you can't do. Because we're afraid that then you may not put it down on the Makom Patur, and then you're going to end up being over on an Issur D'oraisa. As opposed to taking something from Rosh Hashanah Yachid and putting it down in Karmelis, that is also Dirabbanan. So you can take something from Rosh Hashanah Yachid and put it in Makom Patur, the Chachamim will allow you to do that, but you cannot take something from Rosh Hashanah Yachid and put it in Karmelis, the Dirabbanan will not allow you to do that.
So then, why do we call it a Karmelis? We should call it a Rosh Hashanah Yachid.
Because it's not a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. If you carry something from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Karmelis, you're over on an Issur D'Rabbanan. If you call it a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, then you'd be allowed to. You're allowed to take something from one Rosh Hashanah Yachid to another. But also, the point is, if you carry something from a Karmelis to the other, to either of the other Rishuyas or vice versa, you're not over on an Issur D'Oraisa. You're not going to be Chayev Chatas or whatever. As opposed to, you take from Rosh Hashanah Yachid, if you called it Rosh Hashanah Yachid and you carried from it to Rosh Hashanah Adam, you're going to be Chayev.
That's the point. So why have that distinction? Why have the notion of Karmelis when, you know, there's no much difference?
There's a difference because D'oraisa, there would be no problem. D'oraisa, we would say you would be allowed, you'd be freely allowed to carry between this and the other Rishuyas. D'Rabbanan, you're not allowed to. But just a second, Ellie, you were asking something?
So D'oraisa, you could carry from a Karmelis to Rosh Hashanah Yachid or Arabim?
Sure. Yeah, D'oraisa, there's no such thing as a Karmelis.
Why did the Rabbanan create this notion of Carmelis?
The reason that Rabbanan created the concept of Carmelis is because it can easily be confused with one of the other Rishoyis. And if you have, let's say, for example, we said, for example, a lake is a Carmelis. If you're allowed to freely carry from a Carmelis from the lake, let's say, to Rosh HaSiyachid, people may mistakenly think about the same thing. You can carry from a Rosh HaSadam to Rosh HaSiyachid. And that would be an Issur D'Oraisa. So as usual, the Chachamim made, like they always make fences for the Torah. But, on the other hand, a Makom Ptur, being so small, it's not even 4x4 Tfachim, the Chachamim didn't find the need to be Machmer with it, because such a small thing, nobody's going to confuse it with a Rishos Yachid or Rishos Rabin. In effect, it's bottled to the Rishos, to the Rishos next day.
But technically, Midoraisa, you could carry from a Carmelis to a Rishos Rabin, or a Rishos Yachid.
Yes. Midoraisa, you only have a problem between Rishos Rabin and Rishos Yachid. No such thing as Carmelis, yeah. Midaraisa, anything that's not a Rishos HaYachid or Rishos HaRabim, in effect, Daraisa would be Makom Ptur. The Chachamim took certain kinds of Makom Pturs and turned them into Carmelis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Clear now? Yeah. Okay.